Foodie Films is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. There, foodie fans, this is your host Kyle Reinfried, your chef de cinema cuisine. What's happening? How are you? I'm still getting used to this new format, talking to you guys every other week. Last episode, great episode, my dinner with Andre, which was my episode with John Harden and Brian Rodriguez. Hopefully you listened to it, and if you did, I'm sure you enjoyed it, because I enjoy hanging out with those guys and talking movies. But the next day, the day that it came out, the next day was Valentine's Day, and I didn't even wish you guys a happy Valentine's Day. If you listen to my other podcast, P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, with Brian Rodriguez, I think we did a sufficient job doing so on the February 1st episode. Just, you know, nice little episode. And if you guys haven't heard about it, we had a podcast called P.S. I Love Hoffman. And that ended last April, almost a year ago. And I'm just recognizing that March is going to be the 2-year anniversary since we started P.S. I Love Hoffman. But anyway, that was a show where we loved the late great actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. We talked about his films, and that came to an end because we covered all of his feature films. I think it was like 54 films in total. And we just missed talking about him so much that we kind of took a note from the Cage Club Podcast Network, from the Cage Club guys, and who do Cage Club Revisited. And we're having you guys, you as we call them, I call you guys foodie fans. They're the Hoff fans. And we have you guys vote once a month what movie we're covering next. So come March, we're covering The Ides of March. Very appropriate. So anyway, for February, we cover Punch Drunk Love for the love atmosphere that of February and Valentine's Day. And so maybe you curled up and for P.S. I Still Love Hoffman, we do, it's like a DVD commentary. So you play our episode while you're watching the movie. So nice and intimate. We can be intimate too if you'd like. I'm willing to take that step. I'll cook for you. Just, hit me up. I'll come over. I'll cook for you. Let me know. So I hope everything's good with you guys. It's been going great for me. Some exciting stuff. I'm enjoying making this video content. You know, we had that little intro video. You guys got to see my trip to New Orleans. And then I did that fun video, I am the ham, so of course I dressed up and went to Marstown. Got some free cherry pie! Sorry. And it was delicious. And so I will be creating more videos for you. And I just gotta figure out, every other week there will always be a video there for you since there won't be a podcast episode. But I want to create even more videos than just once every 2 weeks. So stay tuned for all that. You can definitely check it on the YouTube page no matter what. I'll always post them on there. And there will be fun little videos on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as well. Hope you guys are enjoying those. This episode, I had such a fun time. I got to talk with Alessia and Janice of Jersey Girl Food Tours. I found Jersey Girl Food Tours on Instagram, and we've been talking for a while. We finally got to sit down and meet and record this awesome episode, and they're just two great women with a great company, and you should really check it out. go on these food tours of Jersey City and Rutherford and Red Bank and Princeton and just a whole bunch of different places. I can't wait to go on one. I think there's a friendship budding, so hopefully I'll get to see them more and we can possibly collaborate on some stuff. But nonetheless, it was great to sit down with them and record this episode. And this is Fried Green Tomatoes. Jersey tomatoes. I think I say in the episode too, but that's how I say it. Tomatoes. That just sounds weird. Tomatoes. So enjoy this episode. Maybe you should pause it right now and go get some fried green tomatoes and a little remoulade sauce on it and enjoy this decadent episode with that decadent dish. Well, I'm here with Alessia and Janice of Jersey Girls Food Tours.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. How's it going? What's happening?
Not much. Staying warm on this windy
it's
day.
It's a windy winter day. We've had kind of a mild winter, but I feel like we're in Chicago right now. No, it hasn't been a mild winter?
I hate the winter. So it's all torture to me.
So I'm hibernating.
Yep.
Well, I'm so glad we could finally make this work. I think we all live busy lives, and we've been traveling and working. And why don't you tell me about, I want to hear all about Jersey Girls Food Tours and how it got started and just each of your like kind of stories of and your love of food and how it became a business. So,
whoa.
Tell me your life story.
How long do we have?
Well, so
we can talk about food all day.
Okay. Well, so you're both from Jersey.
We are.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you are.
Well, yeah. I mean, Brooklyn till I was 10.
Brooklyn till you're 10, yeah. And then you moved to Jersey.
Yeah.
Where are we each from in Jersey? Because there's a very, got our North Jersey, we got our mysterious Central Jersey, and then South Jersey.
East Brunswick, New Brunswick, because Rutgers.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm from Rutherford, so.
I'm from Rutherford.
Not too
okay.
far.
Yeah. The home, well, East Rutherford is Giants, but, the promised
yeah,
land.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, so tell me about, how did you two meet, and how did this business start?
So, have you been on a food tour?
I've not one of yours, but I have
okay.
been on a food tour.
Okay,
before,
cool.
Yeah.
So, Janice was definitely growing up. You were an adventurous eater. I wasn't.
No?
I
wasn't always.
Oh, okay. I was the pickiest thing on earth. Growing okay. up, and so it's kind of funny that I now own a food tour company because now I eat everything in sight except olives.
Except
and
olives
pickles. And pickles.
Yes, weird. Yes.
Two of my favorite things.
Same.
Things I actually I didn't like as a little kid. I was traumatized as a child with olives. I was 3 years old at my aunt and uncle's wedding and reached into a bowl of olives that I thought was a bowl of grapes.
Oh,
that's how I feel
but
with chocolate
like
chip cookies
well, yeah.
or raisin cookies disguised as chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah. So okay, so no olives, no pickles, but you're eating everything and you're giving these tours. So, yeah.
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that.
No, so we were both living in Jersey City and both left corporate and I took my first food tour in Seattle in 2010 and I found it on TripAdvisor and I was kind of just wow, this is really cool. And it kind of just made me look for that kind of thing everywhere. So collectively, we've probably been on 20 food tours all over the world, all over the country.
Awesome.
And realized that this is a really growing concept.
And I still believe that my parents created the concept of a food tour because we would have an appetizer at one place, then we'd have a main course at another place, and then grab dessert at a third place.
That's awesome.
And that's how they would always eat, with their friends, with us. And so I'm also from Chinese-Cuban background.
Okay.
So I've been exposed to a lot of different exotic foods from a young age. So I think that's kind of
like that. I'm here, you can have my bones.
I mean, growing up, I would eat oxtail.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you're very familiar with oxtail, but there's that little part that you can flick off.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I had no idea what it was. I just liked it. And I'm oh, okay, this is fun. It wasn't until I grew up that I was I'm eating a tail. That's that's a bone. So I definitely am more of an adventurous eater, but it wasn't always that way. When I was younger, I definitely used to pick stuff out. But my mom always said, don't worry, you're going to eat all that stuff when you're older. And she was right.
Yeah, I mean, it's we all three of us live in Jersey City, and like you said, it's a growing industry, and you saw a possibility for it here, and this city just keeps expanding and like a rejuvenation. Yeah. Especially, I mean, it's food scene. Heck, we have what's been voted the best pizza, mm-hmm. in even for New York. We're right across the river, and they say we have the best pizza.
Razza was one of our original partners. Actually,
he was on our first tour.
Yeah. Wow.
So. So long story short,
we met on the premise of starting this business. Uh-huh. So she was running a similar type
progressive dinner type thing.
Okay.
For a company, and
I signed up for one.
Yeah, and I was like on my way out. I was like, she was working at a bar. I was working at a restaurant. Like, we're both kind of like transitioning.
Yeah, because I had left my corporate job at Coach. And moved to Jersey City, and I just wanted to do something completely different and entrepreneurial and involving food. I started like a little food blog, and I was researching companies like she was working with. And when I saw that she was the ambassador of Jersey City, I was like, oh, I need to meet her. And I signed up for the event, and I wanted to know what it was all about. And then it turned out she wasn't ever having the event, and I was the only one who signed up because she didn't really promote it.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the last, I think that was like the third or fourth one that was like on the books for me.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, well, in that time period, I was researching food tour companies and like the business model and like how it works and whatever. Mm. So as I was leaving, like another company was already in the works called Garden State Food Tours. So there was a third partner. And then Janice comes into the picture, and we become basically a threesome. And long story short, he ended up being a not-so-nice person, and this is how Jersey Girls was born.
Awesome, okay.
Because he kind of screwed us over, and
He
dissolved our company.
Wow. Took down our website, our social media.
Stole our Facebook, yeah. So,
we had this moment of, like, defeat. Like, what do we do? Do we keep on and rebrand?
This is like reminding me a little bit of the movie we'll eventually be talking about. Like a little bit of strong women persevering. This is
right. Yes, yeah. That's why we love the movie.
And we have this moment by the Colgate clock, literally. We were like, what do we do? Do we go back to our full time jobs?
Yeah.
Or do we do this? And we did it in like a month. We just turned it around.
We got a
new
designer.
Website, social media, new logo, new name, and that's where Jersey Girls.
Wow. So how long has Jersey Girls been incorporated?
It'll be five years in June.
5 years in June.
Well, incorporated in April, but we launched tours in June.
Yeah.
And our moms came on that tour.
and
Razza was on the tour.
Do you remember the first places you went on your tour?
Yeah.
We had Razza. We had Hardgrove.
Wait, Wonder Bagel wasn't on that one.
Yeah. Wonder Bagel.
Where's the original Wonder Bagel?
I don't know where the original is, but the one on Jersey Ave.
We went to
and Sam, the owner, like took us behind the scenes to show us how he made the bagels.
I mean, it's a Jersey food tour. You gotta have bagels, and you got the pizza. Mm-hmm.
But why does it feel like because Hamilton Park was part of our lineup too? Because I remember.
So the
like,
first ever event was with Garden State Food Tours, and it was in Hamilton.
It was Hamilton Inn,
and Milk Sugar Love GPs.
Yeah,
those are all our original early partners.
Gotcha.
And then I think the day of Project Eats.
Yeah, Project Market.
Project Market.
There was a lot going on in the town, and probably wasn't the best day.
Like a fun tour because like we knew the people on it, so we just like stopped for like the big pictures of the sangria.
Yeah.
So it was like a mock tour essentially, mm-hmm. but it was fun, and then we did New on Newark.
Right, and so that one featured all of the newer restaurants that lined Newark Ave. Newark.
Yeah.
Which pretty much now they're all, for the most part, new. And that's like something we say on our tour is that, you know, most of the places that we visit have been around for 5 years or less because of the change in Jersey City.
Yeah, that was going to be
our
my next question.
Like, a lot.
What changes, and you, for good or for bad, have you seen with this city, with, you know.
We've both lived here, 7 years, 8 years?
7, 8 years, yeah.
And when I moved here, I moved right by City Hall.
Okay.
My favorite place was Marco and Pepe, and there was really no, like, not that many places to go.
Yeah.
And for a cocktail, it was LITM.
LITM.
For yeah. brunch, it was Skinner's Loft. Now yeah. there's so many options.
Yeah, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, so we, it's like 2014 was the year that I think, because, like, the city did that whole campaign,
yeah.
rebranding. So, like, I think our company starting, like, happened in tandem with the city also, like,
just, yeah.
putting itself out there kind finally.
Of, kind of that perfect timing.
It was.
Yeah. Just, and, yeah. like, things have closed since then, but not so much that it's, like, alarming.
But I think for things that have closed, I feel like then another thing opens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's just,
yeah.
it just seems like, and that, and me, like, so both of you live more down, like, down this area?
Or? I'm in Hamilton Park.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
So I mean, just I'm just even seeing like up in the Heights on like Central Ave and Palisades, like more and more
yeah,
places are opening because that yeah.
It's like finally spreading.
Yeah. We need to yeah. buy real estate, and I feel like maybe like Harrison or Kearney, where it's gonna like
I
move
know.
To next or something,
yep.
and then eventually to Newark. And yeah.
I still think Jersey City has a lot more to go, though.
Yes, there's definitely.
We
I
need
mean,
a little bit more. Offerings mm-hmm. in a sense like
well and it's a double-edged sword too you ask for
yeah.
like the good and the bad what happens is some of our partners you know they get so busy and so well known like places like Raza you know
yeah.
like we're so happy for him but now we can't really do tours there because
yeah
you know it's hard to get a seat
yeah.
so we're happy for our partners 100% like the chefs we work with that's the reason why we do it we showcase them you know that's
mm-hmm.
our main like goal with our company is to showcase the talent in New Jersey
exactly.
and that you don't have to go to New York to, you know, have fine dining or, you know, great talented
exactly.
chefs. And
would you say that's your favorite part of giving tours or
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And it's evolved, right? Like from the beginning it was bagels.
Yeah.
But now it's like almost every stop is seated. You guarantee to meet a chef or owner, at least one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So much more intimate.
Very
VIP.
Awesome.
There's alcohol now. So it's not rushing through like some of the sidewalk tours in like New York and major cities.
Sure.
So I think we always want to maintain that signature experience
mm-hmm.
and maybe sprinkle in. And it's just because of what we have. Like we don't have a lot of food trucks. We don't have a lot of like just like hole in the wall spots downtown like
yeah.
that. So our tour naturally became that more VIP thing because we were like, well, let's talk to the owners and chefs.
I'm
like,
shocked that there's not more food trucks in the city.
I'm, yeah. Any, well, you know. It's not easy for them in
yeah.
in downtown.
Yeah,
it's hard to even get one.
Yeah, exactly. It's very hostile.
But each, going off of the whole idea of like how it organically evolved,
mm-hmm.
We've also expanded. So Jersey City is our home and where we started, but we quickly thereafter expanded to Rutherford, which is my hometown,
mm-hmm.
and also a very lovely walkable downtown area with great restaurants.
Yeah.
And that was the ultimate VIP tour. Some of the places will close just for our tour.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's you can't find that in New York City.
How many people tend to be on your tours?
As small as 4 in Jersey
wow.
City,
okay.
as large as 100.
Wow.
But we split them up into smaller groups of 20 to 25.
So then so you guys have employees? Or
yeah, tour guides.
A bunch of tour guides?
Well,
awesome.
So we've also expanded to Red Bank, Princeton, and Somerville.
Wow.
So we have ambassadors that work with us that are local to each of those cities.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Because basically we're teaching you how to eat like a local. So obviously, you know,
yeah,
we
so
want that
you,
person there.
Well, that's good to mm-hmm. hear that you're, you know, you went like, yeah, Jersey City, I know about that. I know about, you know about Rutherford. But then while expanding, you're like, no, let's find the people that truly know Red Bank and the other, like the other places.
Right.
Like you said.
And we tend to go off the beaten path. So we like, for example, in Red Bank, which actually reached out to us to bring the tours to Red
mm-hmm.
Bank, which
wow.
is kind of cool.
Yeah.
We, our tour that actually does the best there is like the West Side tour. It's kind of like the off the beaten path, you know, spots that it's an area of town that's sort of like evolving. We
mm-hmm.
like that because we don't, you know, we could take you to the most popular place and give you the best food that that place has, but we want to expand your palate. We want to, you know, make our guests sort of like push the envelope a bit and be a little bit more adventurous when they're on our tour. Because maybe when you go to that restaurant, you won't necessarily order the thing that you had on our tour, but it becomes your new favorite because
that's
we introduced you to it.
That's the best part about food tours. I'm trying to think if I ever did one. I think I felt like my first one was probably internationally. I did one in Barcelona. And that was just like, and I love Spanish food and I love the culture of tapas. And that's just like, I mean, especially you're going on a food tour, like what better way to experience it is just these small bites.
We love tapas.
And even on that food tour, the tour guide was just like, I can't take you everywhere. And like, you know, and obviously we have deals with certain places. He's like, but I'm going to tell you right now. He's like, take out your phone and I'm going to put on Google Maps, like the places that like the locals go.
That's what we like when we travel.
Then what would you say is, besides obviously your favorite food tour you've ever been on?
I think mine was Italy. The one we did in Italy.
Mine was, that one was amazing.
We're in Italy.
It was like an all-day thing. Bologna.
Okay.
That one was literally
it was all
day.
Like they pick you up at 7 in the morning on like a private vehicle, and they basically get you wasted. You go to Prosciutto Factory, Parmigiano Reggiano Factory, Balsamic Factory, and then you have a nice, and you're eating along the way, and then you end at a meal at a nice little beautiful restaurant overlooking Tuscany.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Wow. And then you get home and you're wasted.
You're singing Italian songs.
Yeah, in the car.
In the van. We did that. For me, that one's definitely up there, but I really enjoyed a street food tour that I took in Vietnam.
Oh wow. Yeah.
I did one in
Bangkok, and that was just like the street food game over there is just so strong.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing.
My best meal I had in Thailand was $1.60. It was this amazing noodle soup that I got like from a street vendor. Mm-hmm. But in Vietnam, I took this tour where we got on motorbikes with two local girls. Mm-hmm. It was just myself and my friend. And they just drove us around Hanoi and we stopped at little places, little local spots that you wouldn't know as a tourist.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Four hours. That was like the happiest I've
been.
That
was cool.
It was so good.
That was cool.
Is there any expansion happening? Any more cities that you girls will be moving onto? Can we talk about the future of...
We have some plans. Hoboken is on the horizon.
All right.
And, you know, we've always talked about Montclair, Morristown.
Yeah. There's a lot of great, you know, smaller cities around here. I was just in Morristown the other day at this really good place, George and Martha's. Mm. And they were giving free cherry pie on George Washington's birthday.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And they have a really good bourbon selection. I want to go there. They're having Parade Day soon, which is supposedly a big event there, like their Mardi Gras, but less, you know, beads and nudity, I guess. But I'll still check it out. But like I said, your story just, you know, reminds me, not in full, this is the movie that we're going to be talking about, but as I alluded to, the film is Fried Green Tomatoes. First of all, have we had fried green tomatoes before? I'm from Jersey, I say tomatoes.
There's a lovely place just across the street, Oak on Pine, that serves very delicious fried green tomatoes. Have you had?
Have
been there?
Not from there, no. Oak and Pine?
Oak on Pine. Same owners as Sam A.M.
Okay.
The cafe downtown.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oak on Pine. I'm definitely going to check it out. So we've all had fried green tomatoes. This is the film from 1991, directed by John Avnet. It was a novel first.
I didn't realize that.
And the novelist started to write the screenplay, but was having a... It was kind of being written for like 3 years, and the director came in and kind of then finished it off. At first, it was being written into a musical movie. I don't know exactly what would have happened there, but it's not necessarily... Well, I don't know. I just always think of musicals as happy, but there's plenty of sad musicals as well.
Yeah.
So But anyway, had we seen the movie before? This was my first time actually watching it for the podcast.
It was my first time.
So we laughed because neither of us had seen it.
Yeah.
But we now love it, and it's a classic, so I'm not sure why I haven't, but...
It really is a classic. Just this past weekend was the Academy Awards, and this movie was, at least it was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. For Jessica Tandy's role as Ninny Threadgood.
Oh, wow.
And
she's awesome. She's Batteries Not Included lady, right?
Was it?
Batteries Not Included?
Yeah.
Oh, some of my favorite movies. I love
her.
I
never saw that.
And and she was also in... She was nominated a few years before... No, won a few years before for Driving Miss Daisy. Mm-hmm. But this film was also nominated for Adapted Screenplay, so just very appropriate, given the Oscars just happened. And this was actually a movie... I totally thought for some reason Glenn Close was in this movie. I feel like I'd seen clips before. And I guess I was just getting her confused with... How exactly they keep... Idgy? Is that how
Idgy.
Idgy.
Because it's Imogen?
Yeah.
And we actually didn't plan the fact that it's two women, right? Like, that was kind of coincidental.
It just worked out that way.
It just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah. And she's played by Mary Stuart Masterson, and then the other lead character of Ruth is played by Mary Louise Parker, so we got the three named Marys in there. And the director just supposedly went on to call them Stu and Lou on set.
So really?
Because their name sounded too, you know... similar.
Right.
But this is a movie of, I mean, strong women, race relations,
domestic violence,
body shaming and body acceptance, and technically cannibals?
That was
weird.
But
also just like a beautiful tale of just friendship, right?
Friendship.
And supporting.
Beautiful tale of friendship.
Love your friend, yeah. It's beautiful.
Supposedly in the book, they actually become lovers.
And I was wondering
they
that.
Were going
Yeah. And the director said he at best alluded to that in the food fight scene that we'll definitely talk about.
Yes.
That was at most...
That's exactly when I felt it.
Yeah.
Even before that, when she came to rescue her and all that.
I kind of feel...
Yeah.
But so first time we've all seen. What were your thoughts? What did you like about this movie? What maybe didn't you like about this movie? Or
I thought it was. I loved it. it's not your like typical cheesy like. I don't want to say it wasn't a happy ending, but you know there I cried. I definitely cried.
Gosh, I ugly cried.
Yeah, for sure.
I really
for
did.
Sure.
There's
bawling.
No
like,
such thing as ugly crying.
I think, especially, you know, 1991, it's a while ago. It brought up some really controversial issues.
Yeah.
But still made
plenty
it.
Issues that we hear. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
but still had its really fun moments. Mm-hmm. And, like, to see, what's her character's name? The main character?
Idgy or Ruth?
No.
Rose?
Ninny?
Evelyn.
Evelyn.
To see her
She's
transform,
awesome.
Too, was awesome.
Yep. Oh, she has such a great, like, empowering moment.
I love her.
When she crashed into that car.
Yeah.
And was just, like, hysterically laughing.
Yeah, so also then another main character, Evelyn, is played by Kathy Bates. So this movie, it's very interesting in the sense that it's, like, two time periods.
Yeah.
So it's, I believe, like, around, like... through the early 20s a little bit in the beginning and then
maybe
to
like the 80s
to yeah and then exactly like the I guess well even probably around yeah like late yeah late 80s
yeah.
early 90s
you see like the step aerobic thing
yeah.
like Reebok
yeah.
bag yeah
and then so then the flashbacks were to
Depression era
okay
Alabama
right
well it all takes place in Alabama
right
in Georgia
and
which
Georgia,
is
yes.
wild yeah
yeah I mean
the
that,
South
The South. So, yeah. What were your thoughts?
I loved it. I mean, I laughed. I cried. I thought definitely the women empowerment aspect of it. And just... So there's Idgy and Ruth's relationship, but then there's also Evelyn and Ninny.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful to kind of see, like, the dynamic and how they helped each other and supported each other to be stronger women.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I guess when Evelyn sort of like just has her whole transformation with the car crash and everything, and she said, "I'm older and I have more insurance." Like, it was just one of those things where you're like, "Yes."
With the two younger, they said we're young and faster, right?
And yeah, we're just young and quicker than you. They snuck into her spot.
Yeah.
So that.
And then she just has that great moment of just.
And then the husband.
The jerk husband.
Yes.
Like, he's not nearly as bad as Rose's Frank or anything like that, but he's just very aloof and not, you know, giving her the attention she deserves.
Yeah.
And the love that she deserves. And she's trying to be romantic and keep. So I guess they're. My name's Kyle. Their son Kyle moved out of home.
I noticed that.
So yeah, exactly. I was just like, always, you know, there's never a lead Kyle. It's just always off screen. Oh, yeah, exactly. Woe is me. But so their son has moved out of the house. And, I mean, he's very overweight. She's not comfortable with her body. And she's trying to It's interesting that way. I'm very glad to have two women on to talk about this character. But, I mean, she seems to be going to some progressive meetings about accepting her body.
Right.
And even she says, yells at Nini at one point, and she's like, I can't even
look
at my own
vagina.
Which is something, I mean, I can't imagine
her reaction was funny.
Seeing this in...
Ooh, there's Ollie.
a guest appearance. I can't even imagine in 1991, like, that just seems like, this seems like a pretty progressive film, and just a film that's
To that point, too, what I found to be surprising, which I was happily surprised, was when Iggy goes to Ruth's house with her husband, who is abusing her, and they're just packing up her stuff and moving her out of there.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty, like, ballsy, I guess, like, for the time. Because you would think she would just have to be, like, stuck in her situation. There'd be no out for her. And, you know, to have this strong woman friend, you know, come get her was pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just from the get-go, we get to see that Iggy, like you said, is a tomboy. And she has this older brother that she just idolized. Mm-hmm. And he tragically, there's a train death in a train.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
I thought
tragic.
It was coincidental that the little buddy also.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, Buddy Jr. ends up losing an arm, so that's Ruth's son. At that point where Buddy Jr. is born, and then they start the business. So it was the Whistle Stop Cafe,
mm-hmm.
which became actually a real place. So they filmed mostly in Georgia, even though it takes place in Alabama. And this movie was so popular that they ended up turning the place that they shot in Georgia into an actual restaurant.
That's cool.
Awesome.
So, but I thought it was a little. I mean, so she. Rose always loved Buddy, as we saw in the beginning of the film, and so she ends up naming the son that she has with Frank, Buddy Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like you said, the train stuff, the fact that they end up opening a restaurant right next to the train,
you think it'd be traumatizing?
Yeah, I thought, like, I would
always be... And you think you'd keep your son away from the tracks?
Right? Yeah, by the sound of the whistle and everything like that, I would always be, like, traumatized from that. Especially, I mean, anybody, but the fact that, like, you know...
And they almost make it look like Buddy Jr. died at one
I know.
Point. I was like, oh,
yeah.
No way.
But he's
I was
just,
like, get out
arm.
Of here. Yeah, he lost his arm.
But even
the opening of the cafe part, like... Yeah, the whole thing was just really, it hit home, I feel like. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, just two, I mean, again, yeah, so it's two strong women starting up their own business, and I just, what did you think of their relationship and their dynamic together? Because that's, you know, so Rose is supposed to be, I don't know, 10 years older, I guess, maybe a little less.
Ruth, you mean?
Ruth?
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah, Ruth.
Yeah, I was like,
I said Rose before as well. Sorry. Yes, Ruth is, 10... 8 years older than...
Maybe even more, because I felt like Ruth didn't age according to, like, right? I guess the little girl would grow up a lot quicker, it would look like it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because she was little when it happened, and Ruth almost looks the same age as when Iggy's older.
Yeah.
So...
That's true.
But anyways.
But yeah, their dynamic... It's really cute to see how it changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like... You know, when they lose the brother, they then become, like, closer in a sense because of it later on.
Yeah, Ruth comes back and
first they feel like, yeah, like the mom says to go
basically
watch her.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, Mama Threadgood, right?
That's the, and then yeah. Ruth has the best night of her life, basically.
Drinking and gambling and just
batting.
Batting, and they hop on the train and pass out the food to...
I think that moment where Ruth jumps off the train was, like, her, like, liberating moment. Like, she sort of... Iggy brought that side out of her, because I think she was very, like, prim and proper, like, before that. And so, like, she brought out that, like, fun, free person in her.
So, Iggy is to Ruth as Ninny is to...
Evelyn.
Evelyn, yeah.
Definitely.
What's the deal with the name changes?
The deal with the name changes?
Aren't they the same person?
Well, that's the thing. At the end, I had to Google it, because I'm like, Ninny is Iggy, right?
But supposedly they aren't, right?
I think in the book they're not, but the movie alludes to it being...
Because she left the note at the end on the grave.
Yeah.
With the honey.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was like, oh, yeah. Because she said, maybe we'll see her later.
Yeah, that's what I didn't really get, like, a clear answer. I had to Google it as well, and I was reading, like, trivia for this, and it just, there was no sound answer.
Really?
To
me, the whole movie, I was wondering if that was Iggy, because she never talked about a ninny in the story.
Yeah.
So who was she in the story?
Yeah.
So I thought it has to be her, and it almost looks like Mary Stuart Masterson as an older woman.
No, I agree, and that would, I mean, to me, make it a much more complete story in that way. So I think that's fair to just assume that that's what...
But I almost was disappointed because I thought it would be more of a revelation that, like, they were the same. I guess it was cute, though. Like, the honey next to the grave.
Yeah, the honey was cute.
Yeah, that's the... Mary Stuart Masterson, they were supposed to have a stunt double doing that, but the stunt double...
I was wondering how they did that.
She did it.
That was
her. That was real. Yeah.
That was real.
She just walked right into a swarm of bees.
That's my worst nightmare. The
bees.
I'm
terrified.
Yeah, that big old tree with a beehive and the...
I was wondering how back then they would have done, like, camera tricks for that, and I'm like, wow.
That was real, yeah.
She's super brave.
Yeah, I think the stunt double called out, like, sick the last minute. Probably was just like, mm-mm. She did it.
Wow.
So.
Oh, man.
It was pretty impressive.
I like that she's always protecting and taking care of Ruth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It almost reminds me a little bit of my best friend and I.
Really?
So, like, yeah, Yvonne.
Oh.
Like the way, the dynamic between Yvonne's edgy and I'm Ruth.
That's
interesting.
Yeah, no, it really is a great story in that sense. I mean, then this film finally, I did write, I was just like, oh, an hour in, we finally get some fried green tomatoes.
I know.
I know.
And they were burnt, right?
And they were burnt.
Ruth is
just like, these are terrible. And that's actually, and I mentioned it before, that's the food fight scene. So how about...
Best scene.
Yeah, we'll play that scene for you guys.
So what do you think? They're okay. The truth. They're terrible. Oh, well. So don't be shy. Tell me how you feel.
I will.
What you gonna do that for?
I just thought you needed a little cooling off.
You're right.
What in the name of Christmas are you two doing?
She's trying to teach me how to cook.
Look at those bright green tomatoes.
You better stop this. I'm going to have to arrest you for disorderly conduct.
Oh, I'll arrest him, Sam.
Let me handle this.
All right. Brady.
Oh,
you're getting right now. You come out.
Ruth, I have to say, I believe it's just been a bad influence on me.
I agree.
Food fight scene. I mean, there's been other cinematic food fight scenes. I think I even covered one from Animal House, but this is a great, just like two friends. Have you ever had any kind of food fight like this before?
I haven't. I'm really upset about this.
What you got in the fridge?
That one looked so fun. That one looked like so much fun. But the meat freak in me was also like, oh man, who's going to clean that?
I guess for me, I'm like, I just want to eat the food. I don't want to throw it.
Yeah.
But have I? Maybe I have when I was like younger or something.
I never
But we've
have.
Had like moments of just like laugh attacks that laugh are attacks. Very similar to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But that's that.
The
that
rice
seems,
department.
Yeah. That seems great just because it's just, I feel like that's the most like calm moment of their lives, and they're just doing at that point. They're doing what they love, which isn't necessarily, I mean, the movie's called Fried Green Tomatoes, but the movie isn't about the food. It's about their
right.
friendship.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's not like they're doing what they love, but what they love is spending time together.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. So, but supposedly they make, I mean, actually, I guess Big George makes the really good food. It
yeah,
seems like he
right.
makes
barbecue.
The barbecue mm-hmm. and the pies.
The pie? He was making the pie too?
I think maybe, what was her name? The one that actually
oh,
ends
the,
up.
Oh, the mother?
Sipsy?
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Sipsy.
The mother.
Yeah.
Sipsy, yeah.
Of George.
Yeah.
I actually was surprised that it wasn't more about food, but the food was like layered in at
yeah.
the right times
yeah.
to cause the right effect,
yeah,
if you want to say.
Yeah, the first food, the interesting, it's like, you almost forget that this movie is a story of two time periods. I mean, so
yeah.
this movie's a little over 2 hours, but it really does have a good pace for covering two
mm-hmm.
different the stories mm-hmm. of the timeline of Evelyn and the timeline of, you know,
right.
Reggie and Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And
you enjoy both the same. I find that sometimes
yeah.
when movies do that, like The Notebook, for example, I enjoy so much more the flashbacks
well,
than
got,
I do the
yeah,
current.
It's
I
got,
guess it's
got Daddy Gossip, so you
know. Well, yeah.
There's oh, that. Too. Even I understand that. Just,
don't
know.
Hate him.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah.
But, like, I truly cared about each storyline, like,
yeah.
and what was going on. Kathy Bates was awesome.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
And she was, and it was funny, like, I wrote down that, you know, I said how Jessica Tandy won Best Actress for Driving Miss Daisy a few years before, and, like, the year or two before this as well, Kathy Bates won for Misery. Which I feel is just like a
completely
different.
yeah.
Like that movie, just talk about like she is in control and you know, I mean, and psychotic and. But like this is a movie
just a little
of just,
crazy.
It's just a little crazy.
I still look at her sometimes and like cringe. She
really?
Played such a good role. You never see Misery?
I never saw it.
Ooh,
oh.
Her and James Caan, and it's just. It's,
that's...
I feel like it's a movie that once you see, you'll be like, oh, I've seen that, like, you know, parodied on, like, The Simpsons. And, like, and
yeah,
just,
right.
like, it's one of those...
Yeah, you
yeah.
have to watch it. It's yeah. one of those things that you kind
oh,
of...
It's a little
like,
rough,
you,
yeah.
yeah.
Watch
yeah.
it with someone. Don't watch it alone.
Okay.
okay.
yeah.
yeah, in this movie, she's just so vulnerable. And, like
yeah.
you said, like, both her and Rose have those great, you know, moments of just their breakthrough. And, but with Evelyn... The food with her is just like that she's eating a lot of candy.
Right. So it also touches on the topic of emotional eating,
yeah.
eating disorders. So, yeah, there's a lot.
Because she stops that when she has her breakthrough about not wanting to go to the women's meetups anymore.
Right.
Yeah, not wanting to go there and just these conversations with Ninny. And then
yeah.
Ninny also kind of... making her recognize that she's starting to go through menopause, I'm assuming. They never
Which
say
I was
they never
like,
say
yeah,
it, but...
she's like, oh, hormones, just take the hormones.
Right.
yeah.
You're like,
she's like,
oh.
How many did you actually take when you walked in?
Yeah, she just has so much. like,
yeah.
And then I like that she's finally then taking charge of not just hoping that her husband will recognize, but then be like, you know, she's so nice that I was expecting her at one point to have like a bit of a moment of like shouting at him and being like, listen, you like overweight son of a bitch.
Well, I think she did that backhandedly by serving him a sushi roll.
Exactly. What are, like, are you trying
and a radish. And whatever else is on that plate that he.
She's like, it's a low cholesterol.
That was my favorite. No more fried chicken
her
for
on
you,
the trampoline.
Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like it. I mean, you know, as far as the men in this cast, we have, you know, Chris O'Donnell plays Buddy in the beginning, but that's a very short. You know, he's just he's just the catalyst for the story for, you know, Iggy, and then obviously becoming friends with Ruth. But then you have, like, we said, Big George.
Who I'd love.
Yeah.
He's a big baby.
And why am I blanking on? I didn't write.
You have Frank.
Yeah, you have Frank.
The abuser.
And then, yeah. And then, why didn't I write down the homeless guy's name?
Oh, it's,
I feel bad.
Something lonesome?
Andy?
No, I'll have to look that up.
The drunk guy.
You know, so they're all, and then obviously then, Ed, Evelyn's husband.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all playing, you know, important parts in these women's lives, but I love that they take...
They're like support role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is a really... This is... I mean, it's being called for in Hollywood right now and, you know, and slowly being addressed for more female-led movies, female, you know, produced and directed films. And while this film might have been... I mean, it was written... The novel was written by a woman. It was directed by a man. But I think that this is just a very strong and, you know, pretty progressive movie for, again, a movie that's going on 30 years old.
Yeah.
And it's ironic that we watched it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? 30 years later. Smokey Lonesome.
Smokey Lonesome. That's a great blues band, like, singer. But, yeah, so Smokey Lonesome, who ends up playing a part in Frank's demise. But, yeah, so that's between, like, those characters. And I love that it's, you know, we get closure with Frank's story, with him being, we can talk about it being killed by Sipsy and kind of Smokey. But with Ed, the last we see of him is Evelyn just saying, I want to bring Ninny to live with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, like,
no.
never happened.
Don't
ever say never to me.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so that's the last we see of Ed. And obviously, I mean, you know, and she's going to bring Ninny home. And that story will continue. But I love that that's all we get from him. Mm-hmm. And it really is at that point Evelyn going like, no, this is what I'm going to be doing with my life. And this woman has helped me grow and understand myself so much better. So...
Right, better than he did.
Better than he did. Probably better than.
Sounds like they were getting a divorce.
It's possible. Versus, you know, back then, like you said, that was a very surprising scene when they go and take Ruth away from Frank. That was.
Yeah.
Any other particular scenes that stood out to you that you enjoyed?
I guess when Ruth is dying. Not that it's, like, an enjoyable scene, but it's super sad. But the fact that Iggy was still protecting and supporting her until she took her last breath. So she was telling her the story. She really wanted to hear her stories. And as hard as it was for Iggy to just tell a story and not tell her all the things that she's ever wanted to tell her and be sad and cry, she just told her story until she died.
Yeah.
And that part was impactful. Super sad. That's when I was ugly crying.
I know. That was really, really sad.
And yeah, and that she'll be there. I mean, the community is a very strong community, even down to the reverend who swears on if the judge paid attention to a Moby Dick versus the Bible. But
yeah, like, certain parts of the movie make me angry.
Well, that was frustrating that they couldn't just be like, he beat
me.
That's why
Yeah, that was
stuff like that was like, really makes you just want
maybe
to scream.
Maybe because they thought then they would have a motive.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they were trying to deny to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that was it. I mean, it was definitely a happier outcome than I was expecting at one point when Iggy and Ruth, I mean, Iggy and Big George were arrested for Frank's murder just because.
And, the judge
and even
was
Minnie
like,
what
the hell
dying. Like, we thought maybe she died, but it wasn't her that
oh,
died.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Otis. That was like.
There were a few, like, little twists and turns where you were like, no. And then it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We thought, she was dead.
Yeah. She didn't get to say bye.
I was like, more people dying? My God.
Yeah. And then again, the trick out with Buddy Jr. And there was
like a little roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, a lot of ups and downs with this film, but in the end, I think a gratifying story.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what I definitely would. You recommend this film to other people?
Oh yeah,
100%,
definitely. Yeah.
But Fried Green Tomatoes, that's definitely it's worth checking out.
I want some Fried Green Tomatoes.
I would love some too. Last time I had them down in New Orleans, but I'll have to go to where's it? Oak on Pine.
It really makes you want Southern food after you watch it too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like barbecue, pie, fried green tomatoes.
Barbecued Frank.
Mm.
That's what yeah, okay. So we actually have to quick say that. We slightly when I said this movie's about cannibalism. So they ended up I thought that they just like
dumped his body.
Yeah, dumped his body, and obviously then it would be in the river somewhere, or the lake,
or they
wherever.
Also showed the train coming at that moment. Yeah. Like, maybe they just put him on the track or something.
Something, but...
But not...
No, but so they ended
fed
up...
Fed him to the detective, the sheriff.
I had the thought for a second, because then the next scene, the cut is to George cutting up some meat, and I was like, it was like a macro shot, and I'm like, oh my God, but he's doing it in plain daylight. So then I was like, no, that's the barbecue, but they... Him, I guess they chopped him up and served him to the sheriff from Georgia?
Yes. And she said, it's all in the sauce.
It's a very, again, ups and downs this movie. Yeah. Ups and downs, so.
Unassuming from the name. I have to say, not my whole life, since 1991, I guess, when I heard the name Fried Green Tomatoes, I always thought it was just something totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've
but I would always see it sort of like, grouped together with Thelma and Louise and movies like that, so I'm
You know, have you ever seen Steel Magnolias?
Yes, it's one of my favorite movies.
This movie really,
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Another classic.
Julia Roberts, Dolly Parton, Sally Field, and, why am I forgetting her name? She's in Kill Bill, she's in Splash, Daryl Hannah,
right.
Is she? No. That's not Daryl Hannah.
Who else? Oh, Weeza, the older lady.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of her name right now.
But this movie really reminded me of Steel Magnolias and something. Again,
Southern women,
strong story, ups and downs. That's a
major
movie
ups
that,
and
like,
downs.
Yeah.
Crying, laughing.
Yeah. But.
Oh, Ninji wants to be on it, too.
We got dogs, we got cats. But yeah, so Fried Green Tomatoes. I wonder why it was necessarily called that. I feel like it should have just been called, I don't know, the...
Iggy and Ruth.
I think it was a nostalgia part to it. Like,
yeah.
Because once she died, she said she closed the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think food for her was just, like, a comfort of her... And a symbol
and her
of her friendship.
Yeah, and her happiest times was when they had the restaurant and her abusive husband wasn't chasing after her and they were just making fried green tomatoes
and
having a good time.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Didn't Evelyn bring her? She brought her fried green tomatoes, right?
She did, yeah, because she said...
Yeah. Like, all right, it's the connective tissue.
I think so.
And like you said, how that is their happiest time.
Yeah.
And they always pan in on the window.
Yeah, the paint.
Fried green tomatoes served.
That must have been like the thing to eat.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's so good.
Mm.
Some remoulade sauce.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Right?
We should have picked some up
this
podcast recording.
My mistake.
No, my mistake. I should have went across the street.
Well, moving on, we'll go on to the famous food scene. So, which either one of you would like to? Let me take off my hat, and then we'll let you just kind of.
What if we don't know it?
We'll watch it.
Okay.
So, good question. I was thinking, but I heard him say it before that we were going to watch it.
So whoever.
Should I pick it?
Yeah, go ahead. Pick a good one.
What do we got?
What do we got?
The Breakup. Ooh.
The Breakup.
Like Show Lemons?
Show Lemons.
Yeah. Show Lemons?
Yeah.
It's when Jennifer Aniston tells Vince Vaughn, like, you forgot I wanted 8 lemons or however many it was, 9, and he brings back like 2. He's like, isn't that enough? She's like, no, I could fit 9 lemons in this bowl. Like,
well,
2 lemons isn't going to do it.
Well,
sorry.
Vince Vaughn is one of my favorite people.
We've
got the scene, so let's play it for you listeners, and we'll watch it, and then we'll talk about it.
Gortz is the right-hander.
Gary?
Yeah. Oh, come on, really?
You got 3 lemons.
What my baby wants, my baby gets. You know that.
No, but I wanted 12. Baby wanted 12.
Why would you want 12 lemons?
Because I'm making a 12 lemon centerpiece.
So no one's actually even eating them? They're just show lemons?
Yeah, they're just show lemons. Shown in the center of the table. Glad you find that amusing, but I cannot fill a vase with only 3 lemons.
Well, can't you just use, like, maybe a drinking glass?
I could use a
drinking... Well, you can have a smaller version of a centerpiece.
I'm not going to use a drinking glass for our centerpiece.
You know what? I got an idea. Why don't we go ahead and scratch the centerpiece idea altogether? Because the chicken that burnt my mouth could maybe use a little bit of lemon on top of it. Guess what? Now we made a better meal versus something visually nice to look at.
What's happening here? What are you doing?
I had such a long day on the bus. I need a little bit of downtime. My feet are killing me.
Come on, my feet are killing me too. I worked all day. Went to the market. I cleaned this entire condo, and then I've been cooking for the last 3 hours. Come on, help set the table.
Sweetheart.
What?
You've done such a great job already. Why don't you want to finish it yourself and have that personal power, that accomplishment?
Set the table.
Listen to me. Do you think that when Michelangelo, right, was painting the 16th chapel, that he said, hey, guys, you know, I did pretty good on the first 15 chapels, but why don't you help me design this one? And maybe you could help me, give me a brush, and you guys can grab brushes, and we can all make a great chapel. Uh-uh. No, he didn't. And you want to know what the results were? A masterpiece.
Okay. It's the Sistine Chapel, not the 16th. And I bet when Michelangelo asked for 12 brushes, they didn't bring him 3.
Yeah, okay. All the talking is really starting to drain me, and now... I'm going to have to watch the highlights later to see what I missed.
What a douche.
What a douche, yeah. I mean, this is moving on from a very...
it's just a male bashing podcast.
I mean, this is a movie. We went from, like, a very female-driven film to this movie is very 50-50, so... You haven't seen it before?
I don't know. I'm really bad with movies.
You're really bad.
That's why, like, I had to make sure I watched this, like, fresh.
Jazz, you have seen it.
I think
I've seen
it. Okay.
Yes. And I mean, both of you were laughing while watching that scene. So, you're a fan having seen it, or?
Sorry, what was the question?
You're a fan of the film?
Oh yes, I am a huge fan of the film. I mean, not huge. Not my favorite movie or anything, but it's a really good movie. It's about
A breakup
where they still live together.
Oh,
yeah. So that's
that's
the joke.
I have had a similar thing going on. I guess I could relate. Maybe that's why I like the movie.
Okay.
But I like Vince Vaughn. He's really funny.
He
I like
really
Jennifer
funny.
Aniston.
Yeah, they're both two. I mean, still active in comedy scene. I think this came out in like 2005, 2006, and I love this movie because it's a rom-com, but about the breakup, later. I mean,
do they end up actually breaking up, or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So, spoiler alert: they do. So, the whole reason they're staying—it's a great apartment—and they don't want to give it up.
Oh,
and they're each trying to make one another make the other one kind of like move out. And
he has strippers come.
Oh,
he
so
puts
they
a pool table in the middle.
Like,
it's like
okay.
a competition over who can
I
get
see.
The other one. She starts dating guys right in front of him.
It's got one of the best lines ever of him. They're on a bowling team together, and it's got the kid from A Christmas Story is in it.
Like,
he produced the film. He's a producer with John Favreau's in this movie. Jason Bateman.
You know the part that's like,
And he's like, Band of Brothers, watch it sometime.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, but the okay. acapella singing at the table.
Yeah.
Like, on the drums. Kick, kick. On
come,
the
come.
Drums. Yeah, come.
With
come.
A kick drum. Yeah. Come, come. With a kick drum. Lose yourself. The guy from...
So that come, come on the drum. Come, come. Like, we do that all the time, Lorraine and I.
But this is a great scene. This is pre... This is... kind of the last straw before their breakup, and they're having friends over. He works with his brothers giving, tours of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago. So they got a bus at that point, and then they're moving on to, their dream is to move to the water as well. And then she works in a high-end art gallery as like the manager of a very cliche artistic strong woman that just making her life really hard. And Justin Long plays her.
It's very similar to Evelyn and Ed in a sense that like she just feels he's not contributing. Like he's not paying attention to her. Like she feels unappreciated and he's not grateful for anything that she does. She's always cooking for his family and friends, and he just like just sits on the couch and watches sports and plays video games.
He doesn't recognize that they both came home from a long, hard day of work.
Right.
Whether it doesn't matter that she's the I think curator would be the proper word of this of this artist's space, and then he is out in doing these tours and being a personality, but they're both tired and in their own ways, and
he doesn't appreciate her until he doesn't have her anymore.
it's a good movie, but I love so it's a food scene. And I mean, even the next scene they're having a dinner party, so this is getting ready for a dinner party, but I just love that whole baby gets what baby wants, that's
what baby wants, baby gets.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god,
centerpieces and lemons for centerpieces. I mean,
show lemons.
I mean, it's both. They're both. It's ridiculous on both sides. He's being more unreasonable.
Yeah. Right?
But at the same time,
well, if it's important to her,
she wants
to feel that he will recognize that.
Yeah.
Even if it is show lemons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he doesn't. Doesn't get it.
And the 16th chapel.
But Michelangelo would be given all 12 emperors, and not the three. But it's a fun movie, and I'm probably even going to cover more scenes from this movie. I don't think it is a foodie film, but it has some great food scenes. Jon Favreau is a bartender, and he's got Jon Favreau, Vince Vaughn, two of the best. Like when they're together, talk about like a strong duo. They're just because they're the oldest of friends, so this is a good good
Chef.
Episode of Chef Jon Favreau. Exactly. Ended up giving us one of the greatest gifts of,
I still make that pasta.
The pasta that like Scarlett Johansson is like ever so longingly looking at.
Oh my god.
That was a fun story. I mean, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, when we cover that episode someday, but since you're a fan, I'm sure if you haven't heard the story, you'll love it. Is that Jon Favreau went on Conan, and Conan was just like, "You just made this movie." He's like, "Wait a minute, Vera Farmiga is right? Wait, no, not Vera Farmiga. Oh God, why am I forgetting her name? I'm so bad with names today."
Who?
From.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh God.
Columbia chick.
Yeah.
Sofia Vergara?
Sofia Vergara is his ex-wife in the movie, and Scarlett Johansson, there is like the sommelier, and they're having, relations with one another, and Conan's just like, "You just made this movie to be with beautiful women." And he's like, and he's just like, "No." And Conan's like, "Bullshit." And he's like, no, in my mind, as like, because he wrote it and he directed it and he's starring in it. He's like, in my mind, and I think that pasta scene kind of, if you, after hearing this, you might look at it in a different way. Or even, I mean, I interpreted it this way, I think, in the beginning. But he's just so good at his work and so passionate that those women, those gorgeous women, are in love with that. And so that scene, the pasta scene, where she's, she's like lying in bed and he's just making up this amazing, like, delicious,
it's
simple
like
pasta dish.
Our dream.
Yeah. And, but she, the way she's looking, it's not at him, it's at him and the craft and
making
the pasta.
The pasta.
Oh, so,
God.
Great, yeah.
Oh, sign
crack
me up.
Pasta.
Well, for our last segment, I told you to. It's called Gut Instincts. So just whoever wants to, I think it will just be, well, whatever, whoever just, like, says their, you know, answer first, but, you know, both of you can answer these questions. So, first question, favorite fast food?
In-N-Out.
Wendy's.
Wendy's is one of the, Wendy's and Taco Bell tends to be surprisingly one of the bigger ones. In-N-Out. It's
Does Shake Shack
menu.
Count? Or no?
Shake Shack counts, yeah.
Oh, then forget it. That's so...
Yeah, I love In-N-Out. I'm a sucker for In-N-Out.
More than Shake Shack?
So I gotta move to the West Coast.
Oh my god.
Go to alcoholic beverage, so beer, cocktail, whatever, what have
Tequila.
You.
Tequila.
Tequila.
Gin.
Just straight up. Straight
there.
Up again.
Like, damn, these girls really throw it back. Gin and club soda.
Yeah, tequila club. Lime.
I like seltzer drinks. Spike seltzer.
All right. Gin on the rocks. Straight.
We like sour beers a lot.
sour beers?
Sour beers.
I love sour beers. Yeah.
Yeah, we love sour beers too.
Have you been to, I still need to make, what's the name of the distillery? And they have the gin.
Corgi?
Yeah. How is it? Is it a gin?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. You haven't had it yet at all?
No.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
It's really good.
I know.
I just had an event the other night where we featured them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to, definitely going to go check it out now. Favorite childhood snack?
Dungaroos.
Ooh.
Wow.
I dream about them sometimes still.
I
wish
for
I
me
could
it's
find
Kraft
them.
Singles. I used to fold them into a little stack of squares.
Uh-huh.
Oh my
and
god.
Just eat the squares. I barely like chewed them. They were just I love cheese. So my nickname was Mousy when I was little.
Okay.
Big cheese.
The Dunkaroos has been mentioned before, so I have to ask vanilla
oh,
or chocolate.
Man.
No, it's not. You're not. It's not. That's nothing bad with. That's. I'm just saying. There's a big. It's divided. Vanilla or chocolate.
Oh, vanilla for sure.
Everyone. I'm a chocolate.
And
guy.
The one. But everyone and is, then like.
Because it has like
didn't
the funfetti.
Have, yes. Yeah. Oh my god. The funfetti.
I don't think I've ever had Dunkaroos.
Why did they?
No.
Why don't they make them anymore?
They don't.
No,
I just don't buy those kind of snacks anymore.
But I would go insane if I saw
them in a
store.
We're children of the '90s, right? That's
sort of.
What's that?
Oh, okay. I was born '80.
Oh, okay, but I mean, yeah, that was a time of like gushers, and fruit roll-ups, and
man.
All that kind of stuff. But
why do they do away with that?
Zots. I like Zots.
Yeah,
you guys are too young for the Zots.
On the strip.
Those like fizzy candies, like inside they're fizzy and the outside they're.
Oh. So this next question will be interesting, but maybe I know the answer already because you said Dunkaroos, you said cheese. So sweet or savory?
Savory.
Sweet.
There we go. Okay. Favorite food city? You can answer both domestic and both international if you'd like.
Ooh. Austin.
I mean, Sicily, for sure.
Sicily is up there.
International, domestic.
Jersey City.
Duh, that's right, Jersey City.
I mean, Austin's definitely up there.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was also really pleasantly surprised by Portland, Maine.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Lobster rolls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge seafood. I could eat seafood every day.
You gotta go down to New Orleans then.
Yeah,
I'll spread. Yep. That's my gospel.
Up there too.
Yeah, like, and even in like places of South America, just eating fish every day.
Mm-hmm.
Ceviche.
Oh, I love ceviche.
Yeah.
God.
So, favorite cuisine.
Oof, that's
I can
hard.
Never answer
I
that.
Know. I would say it has to be like top three.
Okay, sure, top three.
Peruvian,
mm-hmm.
Vietnamese now, and Italian.
Okay.
I feel like those are my same.
That's
I grew up Cuban, Chinese, so I feel like Peruvian is a great blend of the two, Latin,
oh, really?
Asian fusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's always up
oh,
there for
man.
Me. Asian
die.
In general, I think.
One chaufa right too. Now.
I really like Peruvian as well. Is there a local Peruvian spot that like is as fans of Peruvian food? Is there like a?
We've had a couple.
So there's like hole in the walls type
yeah,
places.
It's
yeah,
mostly,
really
it's
a
mostly
steak,
hole in
like
the wall.
Chevene.
Yeah,
there's a place
yep.
called Chevene. Chevene. Yeah,
okay.
That's a really good
and
one.
And then the rotisserie chicken we've had pretty good here, right?
Yeah.
Oh, at
I always forget the names of it.
El Gordo? Like, is that Peruvian?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay.
Rotisserie chicken. Yeah. That one's
good.
One of
our Rutherford partners that has since moved Subword Peru. Yeah. We love them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't really have upscale Peruvian here, though.
Mm-mm.
Costanera and Montclair.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty pleasure food.
Mac and cheese. Kraft.
True.
That makes me think of childhood. That
yeah,
makes me think
great.
Of, yeah.
Probably grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Oh, and wings.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Sorry. We have a
all
lot.
All of it. Oh my God, mozzarella sticks. Mozzarella sticks. That's it.
Favorite condiment?
Aiolis.
Oh.
I love
Do
fancy
like,
aiolis.
See my refrigerator. That's gonna be a really fun.
Oh, I know. Her half of her fridge is just condiments.
I'm condiment Ooh. Queen. That's why yeah. I sat here very
okay.
quiet.
Yeah.
That whole door, it's so heavy.
It's yeah,
full
it's
of
wild.
I'm surprised it hasn't fallen off.
I know.
I definitely have a really great selection of Asian condiments.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I grew up eating, you know, Chinese food in my
sure.
house. So lots of different sauces. Chili oil.
Chili
that
oil.
Might be my number one.
Yeah.
You just gave me a good idea for a new, like, a video segment for my YouTube channel, just, like, going to people's places and just, like, talking
Ooh.
About what's
the refrigerator.
In their fridge.
All
right,
yeah.
that's going to be
here.
Fun, right?
Yeah.
Mine right now, you can barely look in it because
yeah.
we just went food shopping. There's so much stuff in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Snacks.
Yes, I will feed you.
What's the last thing you ate?
Oh, we just had a salad because
yeah,
we're trying
was,
to be healthy.
Yeah. We gotta try, you know.
Yeah.
I put some quinoa in a salad. We had leftover like Portuguese chicken from yesterday.
The ribs.
Yeah, and ribs. I'm doing. Sorry. I'm doing
Holly.
A parasite cleanse right now, so I'm limited to what I can eat. So boring salad it was.
The most common question we get asked is like, "How are we not obese?" Because
well, I was gonna ask. So on the food tours, are both of you like, are you eating with the?
We used to in the beginning. We quickly
yeah.
learned
yeah.
that
yeah.
wasn't
yeah.
a good idea.
Yeah, and it's like,
how hard is it?
Gotten.
I don't really want to eat it anymore on the tours.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I've had it enough.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough.
But then you get the certain people
I
who...
I want it every time.
There we go. That's
Unless, like, the people are, like, really adamant of, like, sitting down with them and, like, please, it's going to go to waste. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, oh, okay.
I think it's more of a professionalism thing now where we're, like...
Sure.
Maybe we shouldn't. But sometimes, yeah, sometimes we do want to sit with our guests and eat together as a family, mm-hmm. you know, and we will sort of...
Depends on the vibe.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, you know, these have been some tricky questions for you, but this tends to be a very tricky one. What would be your last meal?
Oh, Ooh, I actually like yeah. this question a
okay.
lot. But do we have enough time? Because it's a lot.
Oh, man.
Definitely my mom's fried rice
mm.
is up there, as if I had to pick that. And there's something called frituras de malanga that we eat. It's
Ooh,
like,
what's
it's
that?
A root vegetable.
Okay.
And she takes it and puts it in a food processor with like egg, maybe there's scallions in there, garlic, olive oil, and it becomes like, she makes fritters out of them.
Awesome.
But the texture, it's
yeah.
like yuca almost.
Oh, yeah. I
the texture
yuca, yeah.
is amazing in these things. And then you put lime on them. They
wow.
are. And I only get them Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve.
What are they called again?
Frituras de malanga.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yum.
They're basically like malanga fritters. But I don't know really what malanga is.
I don't either.
Yeah. Cassava. No, that's
no.
I don't know. But her fried rice, anytime we would have leftovers basically the next day, leftover cold rice and whatever like protein we had
mm-hmm.
mixed with like scallions and a scrambled egg makes... the best meal.
Oh,
yeah.
And
so
I know.
I make fried rice a lot.
Yeah.
Those are just two things.
Wait, yeah, we're really good at recreating meals from leftovers.
Yeah.
We've gotten
yeah.
really good at that. But I think my last, that's hard. Okay, definitely a whole fried fish.
A whole fried fish.
Because I, like, so it's nice and crispy because I like to eat the fins and everything.
Mm-hmm.
with lime and coconut rice on the side. And then, oh, I'm like salivating right now.
Sorry.
Ceviche.
yeah, there would have to be a side of ceviche. Damn, I was like thinking all the things that she was talking to. Definitely rainbow cookies on the side. Ooh, yeah. For dessert. And pretty much every Sicilian pastry under the sun.
Okay.
I would eat it all.
Dumplings have to be on mine too.
Sounds like it. Ooh, where's the best?
And wings, but flats only.
Where's the best place to get dumplings in Jersey City? That's what I'm trying to find. Do you...
Oh yeah, Pinwheel
Garden. Pinwheel Garden's great.
Also yeah. right here.
Boy.
And
like homemade
right by,
out
yeah.
of Taiwanese yeah. grandmother's kitchen. Like
yeah.
amazing.
Writing that down. Pinwheel Garden.
Yes, you must go there.
Isn't there another place downtown too?
I gotta go on a food. I gotta go on one of your tours.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You
do. Shanghai Best is pretty good.
Yeah, soup dumplings there are pretty good.
Shanghai Best.
Mm-hmm. You always see like Chinese people eating in there.
Blog. Oh, dumpling like Instagram blog.
Best food tour I ever went on was a food tour in Shanghai, and they just took us. I had like the best soup dumplings ever, fresh like scallion pancakes made like right in front of me.
Oh, I love
and it was
scallion
just,
pancakes.
Like, I was in
Pinwheel Garden at the
oh,
best.
Oh,
yes.
Oh
okay.
man,
mm-hmm. you gotta go.
I'm so hungry.
Sorry.
Now we're all going to have dumplings.
I feel like this is becoming a sillier question to ask, but do you prefer to dine in or like go out and eat? I mean, you are doing it for your work, so
well,
I mean, what's the...
It depends.
I love to cook.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to cook
she
for other
too.
People.
That's well,
it's
that's a
lot
the
more
yeah,
fun.
Exactly. That's the best.
It's kind of sad yeah. when you're just alone.
Well, that's the thing, too. Yeah, I love to entertain... Literally, I have the space.
Yeah.
So I think with my friends, I've been known to like be the mom.
Yeah, her parties are like
everybody.
So. Lemon centerpieces. Come, come.
No, everything is edible.
Exactly. We don't hold back.
What's your favorite movie snack? You go to the movies. What are we having?
Ooh.
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
You know
it's
me,
classic,
salty,
yeah.
savory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need both. Ooh, like
gummy bears.
No, those Samoa cookies are amazing.
You don't get that in the movie.
Yeah, you're right. Right. All right. Maybe like Swedish fish, and like really buttery popcorn.
Mm.
Yeah. No, none of that light shit.
I'm gonna do it.
That's
do
right.
It
we're talking
yeah,
to women
exactly.
that are drinking gin and tequila here.
There was actually a commercial the other day. I don't know what I was watching, where they did like a life hack, like where you go to the movie theater and how to get your popcorn to be buttered evenly.
Oh, I know.
You take a straw. It's genius. You take a straw and you put it on the spout.
Yeah.
And depending on how big, if you get the big barrel of popcorn, you just put more straws and it goes into the container.
See,
and you get all the butter.
See, I've been to a movie theater where like they had a rod that had holes on the side and you just put it like,
oh yeah, I've seen
if you
that.
Weren't like I guess turned up. I mean, no one's touching that anyway because the butter's coming out of it, but
yeah.
I guess some people are just like, oh, it's a metal rod that's going, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. And it's yeah. just there like airborne stuff
yeah.
touching it yeah. but yeah.
Wait,
well, so, I mean, it's already been invented and it's not really
no, but
like
the straw,
that.
No, I like the straw though. The straw's good. But
I just remembered something I wanted to like for last meal, like my uncle's chicken cutlets.
Yeah.
They're the
chicken
best chicken cutlets
cold
on the
in
world.
The fridge.
Yes, they are the best chicken. There he like
sometimes
he pounds the chicken.
Yeah. And sometimes leftovers
so
are just like even you know.
Oh, man.
I eat dinner for breakfast. My boyfriend always laughs.
Oh yeah,
because
she loves that.
I don't really like breakfast food that much.
Uh-huh.
I eat whatever we were having the night before,
yeah.
or like whatever dinner food is in there is my breakfast. Mm.
Oh, the other day I had leftover Persian food for breakfast, and it was just like
yum.
Amazing. There's this one, I can never pronounce the names of the dishes, but there's this chicken dish that's cooked in a walnut pomegranate sauce.
Wow.
And it's like, if you go to any traditional Persian restaurant, you can have it. And it's just...
There's one now in Hoboken, right?
Yes,
Seven Valleys.
I think they have it there.
Where was the one you went to?
It's called Rava, and it's there's three locations in Manhattan,
oh, okay.
and that one's the closest one for us to get to. I haven't been to the one downtown. I know that there's one on like 6th and 30th, or no, even a little bit more east, but around like the 30s, but on the east side, and there's one on 62nd and like the east side.
Mm.
But yeah, it's Ravagh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a
fog. But anyway, two more questions. What would be your spirit food? So I'm just getting to know you two, but I think you two clearly know one another very well. So given your personalities and just that kind of, what food do you think best represents you? I know, but, we get deep here. We get deep.
Is it because it's our favorite go-to thing, or no, because not like something about it represents?
Yeah, there's something. Yeah. So exactly. Huh. So
I still think. I guess for me, it'd be fried rice with chili oil on it.
Yeah, I was going to say fried rice
it's
for
like,
you.
It's a blend of a lot of different things and a little spicy. That's me.
A classic.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. I don't know.
And it's reinventing leftovers, which...
That's true.
Yeah.
My spirit food. Damn. I don't know.
Yours has to be some kind of dessert, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because you're so sweet.
And you a rainbow cookie.
A rainbow cookie I was thinking, too.
Yes!
But like,
well, it's like... layered, but I'm actually not a huge chocolate fan.
Okay.
The chocolate's just there, but... what kind of...
Dunkaroos. Funfetti.
It would need to have like an upscale element, but then like be like just super, I don't know, like comfort foodish.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but
maybe like a pasta dish.
Maybe a pasta dish.
Gnocchi.
Oh yeah, gnocchi.
Gnocchi. Okay.
Because they're like cute.
Warm, comforting, like cute.
But the cream, like with like a nice like pesto or something.
Yes, pesto. I don't know. That's you.
Gnocchi and pesto. Okay, gnocchi and pesto, and then the fried rice.
Can't forget the chili oil.
Chili oil with the chili oil. Last question: what's the greatest lesson you've learned in food?
That it's best shared with others.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean you're doing it for.
That's why we do what we do.
Probably keep it simple, stupid. You know, kiss. Like, yeah. I just feel like that applies to like everything, but also food, because especially Italian cuisine. Like, one thing that like, drives me insane, like going to an Italian spa and they do way too much with the pasta. It's like, why Italian cuisine is so wonderful is because it's so simple.
Yeah.
And then you get these pasta dishes with these, like, almost like syrupy sauces or, like, crazy ingredients. It's like, I love inventive sides.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. We need that, too. But sometimes you just got to keep it simple.
Yeah.
And not just with food, but a lot of things in life.
Amen, sister.
I like it. So sharing with others and kiss.
Yes.
Perfect. I love it. Well, thank you both so much for coming on. Right now, please tell everyone how they can contact you, all the social media, and where they can find you so they can go on one of your lovely tours.
Yes. So our website is jerseygirlsfoodtours.com. We're big on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are at JGFoodTours. All of our public tours for Jersey City are weekly. Saturdays or Sundays, usually between 3 and 6 or 3:30 to 6:30. If you don't see a date, we do private tours pretty much any day of the week.
Wow.
Minimum, we need a minimum of usually like 6 to 8 people, as large as 100. Email info@jgfoodtours. We're happy to make any occasion super special. Bachelorette parties, birthday parties, wedding parties, anything. So anything celebrated around food will... We'll make it really, really fun.
We got you.
Yeah.
Actually, I have one last question. What would you say would be like the craziest tour you've ever given? Like, or like as far as like the clientele, has there been? You said bachelorette party, you know, that kind of stuff. That just makes me think of, I don't know.
Oh yeah. Knock on wood. We've been pretty lucky with like nothing super crazy happening, but
Some injuries here and there, nothing major.
So
on that, but.
Yeah. So one person, it was before the tour started.
Okay.
On the way to the brewery, she fell and like cut her face open, basically, which really sucks. And I ended up actually having to cancel that tour because like it was a small tour to begin with.
Yeah.
But besides that, like, I feel like people handle their alcohol pretty well.
Okay.
And that's the craziest I can think of, right?
I guess it depends on what the definition of crazy is. But, like, we hosted, like, 100 people from Janssen. Like, that was a really cool tour. We broke them up into four groups. Like, that was the largest group we've ever had. And we just, like, round-robin, like, to all the restaurants. So that was, like, a really awesome night.
Yeah.
We hired, like, two friends to be tour guides and... Yeah, that
like,
was fun.
It's not New York, so, like, you know, some of our friends have told, like, the tour guides getting into fight with homeless people and, like, getting punched in the face. Ooh. Like, yeah, so we're kind of lucky in that sense.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we just recently had someone leave after the first stop, but I don't know that I really want to be, like, making that one public.
No. crazy people.
Yeah, you can't please everyone, I guess, but...
But obviously an overall success, and you keep growing and expanding and showing people out there the good food that New Jersey has to offer. So thank you for that. As someone that is a, you know, born, raised, educated, living, probably dying in Jersey. You know, thank you for that, ladies. And we end every episode. We have a little sign-off line. It's actually it's something my grandmother would always say when she was when we would go over to her place for dinner, and she would say, you know, like the plate's getting empty. She'd be like, "Oh, don't worry, there's more to cut." So I feel like that just was such a great line that transcends just for food, and there's just more to cut. There's always more out there.
I have a good quote from grandparents.
Oh, please share. Please.
So my mom's dad is Chinese, and he always said you have to try everything 3 times before you say you don't like it.
I like that. Yeah, that's a great food lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's acquired taste.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the line is there's more to cut. So if both of you could just, I don't know if you want to say it at the same time, so you can decide it, or just however you'd like to say that.
There's more to cut.
Damn it!
We're pretty good at this usually.
I know. We're the Jersey girls. Okay, ready?
We stayed in unison. There's more to cut.
Thank you. What a beautiful unison.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So fun.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you, such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing, and it's just a what I'm gonna do. Ooh, love to hold ya. Ooh, love to kiss ya. Ooh, love, I love it so.